Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
A County Kildare family who had to endure three trials of the man who was eventually convicted of the manslaughter of 20-year-old Joseph Jojo Dunn in Naas in County Kildare in 2014 say their life sentence will never end. Serbian national Zoltan Almasi was last week sentenced to 11 years in prison for the assault on Jojo, in which he killed him with what was described as a single and savage blow from a baseball bat. The sentence was backdated to 2014, which means he could be released within the next 2 years. And I'm joined now by Jojo's brother, Richie. And Richie, thanks for speaking to us today and for being here. This has been, I know, a really traumatic time for your family. I want to start, though, by talking a little bit about Jojo, your brother, the man. Will you tell me a little bit about him? What was he like as a brother to you growing up?
Yeah, Jojo was like... He was like every other brother, really. You know what I mean? He'd be there for you. He would do anything he could for you. He was a good person. He was the best brother, really. He really was.
And at the time, in 2014, he was doing a FOSS course, but he had plans, hadn't he?
He had. He was going to do a course in criminology. And also, I think it was a week or two after... we were getting letters through the door that his applications for jobs, he was actually successful with them. And so he had plans, he had options.
So he was on the cusp of something.
Yeah.
Did you know he was interested in criminology?
He mentioned it a couple of times, but he didn't really, you know, Jojo was kind of private in a way. Until he achieved it, he wouldn't make a deal out of it. You know? Mm-hmm.
So he hadn't told you that he'd been accepted onto the course, for example?
Not yet. But it was his FOSS, the man that used to look after him in FOSS, Mert was his name. It was him who told us after.
Mm-hmm. How did you and your family find out on that night that something had happened?
We got a phone call just after 10:30. And it was from my aunt in Naas. And she was panicking, really. And I can remember the phone call because she was actually panicking. And she was asking where we were. Because obviously they found out something in Naas, that something was after happening. And it was to one of us. And then that's kind of when it started to, you know, Joe wasn't there. He wasn't at home that night.
So she was trying to find out which one of you was involved in this thing.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure she would have rang hoping that it wasn't one of us, but they did hear that there was a serious injury in Naas. And because they live in Naas, I'm sure that's how they found out, you know.
It's an awful shock, isn't it, when somebody dies, but when somebody dies so young and so suddenly and it comes at you out of the blue like this. I mean, can you remember what it was like at the time?
Yeah, I can remember. It's not something that will ever leave you. You don't expect for your brother to go out and not come home.
The attendance at his funeral, the amount of people that showed up, said a lot for you about who he was as a person.
It's tragic. And, you know, people you mightn't have seen in a long time, but they all had a story about Jojo. And they were all good stories. They weren't bad stories. They were all good. And I think that shows his character. And the sort of person he was.
Mm-hmm. It's just like finding out afterwards that he'd been accepted on the criminology course. You hear all these things about the person after they're gone that you didn't probably know about.
You have your own life going on, you know, and things like that.
So listen, as I said at the start, this has been a really long journey for your family through the legal system. And I want to just outline what happened for listeners. Zoltan Almasi was arrested by the Gardaí and charged. And at the first trial, he was found guilty of murder. He then appealed his conviction on the grounds that the trial judge should have allowed the defence of provocation go to the jury. The Court of Appeal upheld his conviction, but he then won a subsequent appeal to the Supreme Court. So that then quashed the conviction and a retrial was ordered. At that point, Richie, did you know yourself and your family just how complex all of this was about to become?
Absolutely not. To be fair, our liaison officer has been very good to us, and she has, like, she's kind of done her best to prepare us the best way she could. But no, I remember we had to watch it, I think it was through Zoom, we had to watch this. It was like a video call because of COVID restrictions and things. Mm-hmm. And then we found out then, yeah, that the appeal had been successful, which to us as a family, like in the past 7 years, we haven't had one minute really. There's always been something, do you know?
When you say 1 minute, do you mean 1 minute of peace or 1 minute to
come
to terms with this?
There's no peace. The person responsible for this is in a cell. And it seems to us that he's the one with all the rights. As a family, we don't think we have any rights, you know? When you actually think of it, it's the one responsible for causing so much hurt and pain is the one that gets all the rights.
The second and third trials then, they ended because the juries couldn't come to an agreement. And all of this has meant that your families had to go through three trials.
Yeah.
And all of the events, all of the arguments, everything that happened has to be heard again. And you've got to hear all of that again. How difficult was it to sit through it three times?
To be fair, you just do it because you've no choice. Do you know? Mm-hmm. You've no choice. You have to be there for the memory of your brother. You have to be there to support your parents, my other brothers, because we're all going through the same thing.
Yeah, but the judge in the case, Mr. Justice Michael White, he said, he acknowledged, didn't he, how three trials and two appeals have been really hard on you. He said, to lose your son and brother of 20 years of age in a violent, unnecessary act is heartbreaking, but to go through the court hearings has been an unbearable trauma for the family.
You'll never forget what happened. But I think as a family, you should be allowed to get some sort of peace from it. Do you know, not to be brought through three trials, listening to how your brother was savagely taken. And that's the only way you can describe it. What happened to Joe was, it was disgusting. You don't do them things to people. You don't. You don't do something like that. And then to be the one that gets all the rights, to be the one to keep tormenting a family. I don't see where the justice is with that, to be honest.
Well, we know that he was convicted of manslaughter. He's now serving his prison sentence. He's been in prison since 2014.
Yeah.
Do you have any sense of closure, though, now that you've come to the end of this and the conclusion that has been reached?
No. You'll never have closure. You'll never have closure. I know what I believe that was. In my eyes, it's not a case that he has been found guilty of manslaughter. It was manslaughter by default. That's what I think.
Your grandmother on your mother's side died before the second trial. But even though your mother was going through that, she still went to that trial, Richie, every day.
My mum never missed a minute. She was there every day. And my nanny passed away the week before the trial was to start. And my mum was there every day. Every single day. Mm. Every minute of every day. She had to sit and endure and listen all over again as to what happened to her son.
How is she doing now since last week?
She's doing her best, but it's very hard. It is very hard for her. It's very hard for everyone. But for a mother to lose a son or a daughter in them circumstances, and you know there is someone responsible for doing it, I don't even... He was my brother, but I can't even imagine what my mum goes through.
The sentence was 11 years and I said earlier it was backdated to 2014, and that means he could be out of prison within the next 2 years?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I don't think it's right, to be honest. I don't think it's right. He took the life of an innocent person and he serves 8 or 9 years in prison. I can't see where the justice is in that, to be honest. I just can't.
During the trials, you were worried, I know, about how your brother was being portrayed because the events were being discussed in court and it being our adversarial legal system, one side is pitted against the other. And arguments were made about the attack and the events of that night. And you want to state very clearly, I know, that Joe wasn't the kind of person who would have done anything, in your view, to bring a situation to a violent end.
Absolutely not. Joe wasn't, he wasn't a violent person. And we sat through them three trials and not one time did we hear or see any evidence to suggest that Joe was. And we knew Joe, obviously. So having to sit there and listen, I do understand that's what you're up against. But we also learned as well the sort of person who was responsible for doing it.
I want to talk to you about the event itself, and just going back to what was described in court as the single and savage blow from a baseball bat that killed Jojo. And, you know, we've heard about these one punch attacks, one strike attacks again. And the message you want to get out there is, if only there had been a conversation, if only somebody had stopped to think what might have happened here, there would have been a very different outcome.
There was no need to do what he done. There wasn't. There's no need for violence. There really isn't. We weren't brought up to be violent. We've never done anything that has led to violence or anything like that. And what my family has gone through over the past 7 years and what we will have to continue to go through. We had to celebrate my brother's 21st birthday at his grave. And every other birthday, we will have to celebrate at his grave as well. No family deserves that. They don't.
I'm struck again, going back to what you said earlier about, you know, your family haven't had a minute since this happened in 2014 because of the legal process and going through the three trials. Do you feel differently since the verdict was handed down last week? Do you feel that now maybe you're able to get to a point where you can grieve your brother?
To be honest, some days it seems like it's a bad dream. Do you know what I mean? Well, a nightmare, really. We haven't had the opportunity to actually sit back and think. Do you know, we just haven't been given that opportunity yet. And unfortunately, the person responsible is the cause of that yet again.
Your father, George, paid tribute to Jojo's friends. You mentioned them earlier, and they bravely gave evidence during the trial. How difficult was that for them?
Very difficult. Very difficult. You could see the pain. You really could. You could see the pain. You could see how devastated they were. And for a young person to witness what they witnessed and then have to go through the ordeal of sitting in a courtroom. And he told the truth, you know. That's the always told the truth. And it was made out as if they weren't, you know. Mm-hmm. Everything they said, even though they told the truth, was made out.
Did they have to give evidence, Richie, in the three trials?
Three trials.
Each time, back in again?
Every single time. Every single time, yeah. They had to relive that night again. Mm. And, of course, it was tough for them. But they'd done it, and they'd done Joe proud as well. So they should be proud of themselves. I'm sure they just wanted justice for Joe as well, you know.
Yeah. Whatever about them having to go in, which I'm sure was difficult, but for you and for your family having to sit through and listen to it again and again and again.
Yeah. But you have to do it, do you know. You have to do it. You have to just get on, you know. You have to go and do it. Mm-hmm. We've done it because we expected and we wanted justice for Joe, you know. That was the only little thing that we could have got from all of this. Nothing was going to bring Joe back.
Do you feel you got justice?
No, absolutely not. 8 or 9 years for taking someone's life, that's not justice. If you think about the amount of lives that have been destroyed, because it's the only way you can describe it, by what he done, then that's not justice.
Do you feel your own life has been destroyed?
Of course. Of course. It's, yeah, of course. You don't expect to wake up one morning or, you know, any morning and not have your brother there. And then you have to relive and you have to rethink as to why it happened. And there was no justice in the fact of why it happened either. Like they said, my brother lost his life over a van.
Well, Richie, thank you so much for coming in. I know that wasn't easy for you, and I hope that you and your family get some peace and some relief now that you're at this stage. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Yeah, no problem.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.